Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, January 21st, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that webpage and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. The book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, the Reality Management Worksheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years, pushing 18 years now, to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that's given to each of us, that every one of us has access to, even though we're not taught about it. And you can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on it, download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through the worksheet process and or called in and given powerful testimonials about how the use of that tool has been beneficial in their lives. We hope people do all of that. You can actually go to your app store, either one, Google Play or Apple App Store, and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you tap on that, it'll let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do that soon and often, because that frequently leads to comments, questions, answers, or testimonials, or even refutations. And if you have any of those for us, give us a call, please. 555. Let's see. So give us a call, because we have the phone number of 563-999-3581. Again, the number is 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1. It will give us a heads up that you have a question or a comment, and I will turn it on and announce you by your area code. I'm a little distracted here because I'm looking to get access to a file. Related to what we're doing these days, this is this week we've been going through the Way of Mastery, the first lesson, this week and last week. And back along the line, JM, who channeled that Way of Mastery, was sent a question from one of his blog post readers, and the question had to do with whether or not there was a significant difference, or one better or one worse, between A Course in Miracles and The Way of Mastery. And JM, I believe, answered that in a way that was just very clear. He was talking about how whenever a phenomenal teacher teaches, he or she or they go to where the student is. They talk, Michael Rice would say, he'd quote scriptures and say, you know, I talk here a little, there a little, with bits and pieces, with stammering tongue. But it's not that the speaker is stammering. It's that the speaker has experienced something that is so much beyond the experience of the audience, and the speaker has such a deep understanding of the dynamics and the concepts that the speaker has to try and find the language that the audience can even begin to comprehend and help them build a sense of comprehension bit by bit until they can experience something far deeper and richer than anything they've experienced before. And I will look for that. It came to me this morning that I should read some of that from JM, and I can't really put my finger on it right now, so I'm not going to take the time to do that. But, you know, the books that JM has written over the years comprise what he calls the Christ Mind material. And it includes things like, you know, the Yeshua letters and the Way of the Servant. And it's not just the Way of the Heart, the Way of Transformation, and the Way of Knowing. There have been a number of different books. There are some affirmations from Christ Mind affirmations. There's the book Cosmic Chocolate Orgasm that he wrote. So there's various things that are in line with the principle that each and every one of us has the capacity to develop connection to our internal wisdom, to the source for all of this stuff. And so here, you know, there's three volumes of affirmations for Christ consciousness from the Way of Mastery that were published by JM. The Way of the Servant that was published by JM. There are books that talk about his story on this path. But each and every one is designed to help us understand how we're all the same and how we all have the potential, if we haven't discovered it yet or activated it, it still remains within us, the potential activate and strengthen our own connection to this source material, to this consciousness. And I've marveled at how people like Krishnamurti and Anthony DeMello and even Alan Cohen with his deep study of the Course in Miracles are hitting on almost all the same key points. And essentially, it's about, you know, you're creating your experience, and when you're experiencing something less than loving, less than expansive, less than gratitude-based, it is because there's an error in your process. There is, you're in that moment, you're acting from either the cultural or the family experience, which is passing along errors of thought, false conclusions, obsessive focus on the physical without regard for the mental, emotional, spiritual. And so I think I will launch into a little bit of the second lesson with a brief recap. The first lesson is all kinds of words about how you remain as you were created to be. You, if you are listening to these words, you are in the body as a consciousness. You know, it's been said that you are a spiritual entity having a physical experience. As Dr. Michael Rice talks about it, your mind energy is a creative force, and it's always on. You don't have a choice about turning it off. You're always going to be creating. What you do have a choice about is where you focus those thoughts. Do you focus that creative force on neutral or positive or negative thought patterns? And so right here in the first lesson, the very first axiom of truth is offered, and it says, nothing that you experience is caused by anything outside of you. You experience only the effects of your own choice. And we clarify, it doesn't mean that you create a tornado or you create an earthquake or you create a car accident. What it means is when those things happen and you're present for them, when the sights and sounds and physical impact hit your senses, what you choose as an interpretation of those energies and those experiences, that's what creates your impressions and your experience of life in the moment. So here's lesson two from The Way of Mastery. They have chosen to title it Lesson Two, Your Own Experience. It is with great joy that I come forth to abide with you. It is a great truth that I come often unto many. But because of what you have learned in your world, you have often believed me to be a figment of your imagination, the voice that steals quietly through the space between your thoughts, and you think it to be but an illusion. Yet I say, I come often unto many, and I come not alone to communicate with you. There is, in truth, a host of friends that come to create a vortex, a circumference of energy. We come even as you hear these words, and you let them into your space to set that tone. If you would well receive it, there are many friends unseen by physical eyes that have come forth to contribute and to support this communication. Why is that important? Always in each and every moment of your experience, you as a soul, as a divine spark of consciousness, are deliberately choosing to create many forms of communication. And what you perceive is communicated always. You do it with the raiment that you place upon the body. You do it with your gestures and the sound of your voice. you do it with the very culture and time frame in which you incarnate. You are constantly and only creating forms through which you communicate. Communication is the attempt to rest in communion with creation. What you are choosing to perceive, believe, and accept as true will be radiated through you, through your communication devices, which includes the body. This is happening that you might transfer your perceptions to one another, that they might know who you are and what voice you are committed to. I have often said that the body is a teaching and learning device, and all forms of communication affect the process of teaching and learning. When you arise in the morning, the first thought that makes a home in your mind, you will act on. You may stretch the body. You may smile. You may frown. You might be filled with peace. Or you might feel the weight of the world. These things come not because you have perceived them outside, but because you have allowed them inside into the depth of your consciousness, which remains pure and undefiled and radiant beyond all boundaries forever. As that thought makes a home in your mind, you literally begin to transform the communication device called the body into that which carries, expresses, and reflects whatever it is that has come to make a home within your mind. Remember, please, that the mind is not where the body is. The mind does not abide within the body. And yet, the body does abide within the field of your mind. Again, communication is creation. These two are one and the same. Therefore, if you would create well, ask only, number one, what am I committed to communicating? Number two, what will my creations express? Number three, what will my creations convey to others? Number four, for what I seek to convey reveals what I believe. And what I believe to be the truth of myself into the world. Therefore, beloved friends, as we begin to focus on, to refine, to deepen, and to mature in the way of the heart, it is very wise to begin at the beginning. The beginning of this pathway is simply this. You are as the Creator created you to be. You are an infinite focus of consciousness. Your very sense of existence is nothing more than a feedback loop or a feedback mechanism so that you can witness the effects of the choices you are making in the very deep, deep depth of your mind, which rests right alongside the mind of the Creator. Your mind energy is a creative force. A little bit later on in that same lesson, it says, I am a creator of all that I think and see and experience. I am free always. As a consciousness, nothing impinges upon me but the thoughts that I have chosen to hold within. As a consciousness, nothing imprisons me but my own perception of imprisonment. Nothing limits me at any level or dimension of experience except that which I have chosen and hold on to and pour my mind energy into as a sense of being restricted, constricted, or imprisoned. It goes on to say, therefore, in each moment of your existence, which includes this bodily incarnation, you are literally allowing through deliberate choice, though perhaps unconscious to you now, you are allowing deliberate choice to bring forth a vibration or a thought or a vibration of creation and to communicate it to the world in an attempt to experience communion with all of life. Communion with a friend, with a parent, with a child, with a beloved, with the clouds that pass through the sky, or even with the earth itself. Each gesture, each thought, the way that the body breathes, all of these things are going on constantly, and they are communicating or revealing the effect of what you have allowed to make a home in your mind. This is why I was talking in the last lesson about be a wise gardener. Tend to the thoughts that you choose and allow to make a home in your mind. Understand well that the way of the heart requires that you allow yourself to rest in the simplicity of the following truth. I am pure spirit. I am undefiled and unaffected by anything or anyone. I am given full power to choose and therefore to create my experience as I would have it be. It goes on to say, this is not quite the I that is the egoic part of the mind, for that is just one of your creations, and that came along somewhere down the line. I, your sense of self, I, Tim, the psychologist, the father, the blog talk radio host, I, in that sense, is a very small part of my mind. In this work, we're talking about the I of that part of you which is pure spirit, that knows it exists even though it does not know the time of its own creation. You are pure spirit. And therefore, we want you to know this. You could state this over and over again, the following quote, and begin to awaken to what another part of your mind already knows. I am only this, and in each moment, regardless of what I believe I see, regardless of the feelings that arise within my awareness, I and I alone am wholly 100% responsible for everything I experience. No one has caused these experiences or thoughts. No great force in the universe has made this perception well up within my consciousness. I have selected it. This is the heart of the way of the heart. This is the core. This is the beginning of the way of the heart. This teaching would have us begin to observe our infinite capacity to choose the focus of our conscious awareness in each new present moment and to begin to observe how the choice of the focus of that conscious awareness in each new present moment is the one and only thing that creates our experience of life in each moment. To sum up the first couple of lessons, even on to the third lesson with the Way of Mastery that begins to talk about the definition of forgiveness, they want us to start exploring, observing, experimenting with, watching the effects of the consequences of our choices, awakening more and more to the realization in each moment, with each breath, and prior to each breath, that whatever we choose to focus our conscious awareness upon, we have the infinite capacity to change that moment to moment, and whatever we choose to focus it upon is the only thing that creates our experience of life in each new present moment. This is not what the Western mind is used to saying, is used to believing. It's not what most of us have had programmed into our life experience. And yet, it is the beginning of the way of the heart. It is the beginning of recognizing our ultimate ability to change our experience of life. And there are people who have studied various cultures over time and understood that we as human beings have understood this more at different times, especially outside the Western mind. There's a book about a new history for humanity, and one of the sections of the book is talking about how Western Europeans learned from Native Americans or indigenous people on the American continent about the connection between reason, debate, personal freedoms, and the refusal of arbitrary power. So these Western people from the Jesuit religion and from the kingdoms that came to the what would be the West, they thought they were encountering people who were less intelligent. And some of them even went so far as to say not human. But the research reveals, and this book talks in great detail about how the opposite was the truth. So the book says, in political terms then, French and Americans were not arguing about equality, but they were arguing about freedom, because the French and that Western European tradition came from an authority of a god, an authority of a bishop, an authority of a pope, an authority of a king, and all of these authorities outside the individual. The Native American tribes that they encountered, some of them like the Wyandot, they didn't believe in an outside authority. And even if they had a chief in name, that chief had no power or authority to make anybody in the tribe do anything. People did what they reasoned was best to do. They say here, about the only specific reference to political equality that appears in the 71 volumes of the Jesuit Relations book occurs almost as an aside, and it was in an account of an event in 1648. It happened in a settlement of Christianized Wyandot near the town of Quebec. After a disturbance that was caused by a shipload of illegal liquor, which found its way into the community, the governor persuaded the Wyandot leaders to agree to a prohibition of alcoholic beverages, and they published an edict to that effect. Crucially, the governor notes, this edict was backed up by a threat of punishment. Father Lalemant again records the story. For him, this was an epochal event. He writes, from the beginning of the world until the coming of the French, the savages, in quotes, have never known what it was to so solemnly forbid anything to their people under any penalty, however slight. These were a free people, each of whom considered him or herself as much of consequence as any of the others, and they submit to their chiefs only insofar as it pleases them, as it seems reasonable to do so. That's the end of that quote. They talk here about how the equality here is a direct extension of freedom. Indeed, it is the expression of that freedom. It also has almost nothing in common with the more familiar Eurasian notion of equality before the law, because this is ultimately equality before the sovereign, that is, once again, equality in common subjugation, not freedom. The Americans, the Native Americans, the indigenous on this continent, by contrast, were equal insofar as they were equally free to obey or disobey orders that they saw as they saw fit. And the democratic governance of the Wyandot and the Five Nations, which so impressed the later European readers, was an expression of the same principle. If no compulsion was allowed, then obviously such social coherence as did exist had to be created through reasoned debate, through persuasive arguments, and through the establishment of social consensus. Here we turn to the matter with which we began. The European Enlightenment, as the apotheosis of the principle of open and rational debate. We've already mentioned Sagard's grudging respect for the Wyandot facility for logical argument. So the Native Americans were better at logical arguing and philosophy than the Western Europeans who had been through universities and considered themselves so sophisticated. At this point, it's important to bear in mind that the Jesuits were the intellectuals of the Catholic world. They were trained in classical rhetoric and in techniques of disputation. The Jesuits had learned the American, the Native Americans' languages primarily so as to be able to argue with them and to persuade them of the superiority of the Christian faith. Yet, those Europeans, those Jesuits, regularly found themselves startled and overly impressed by the quality of the counter-arguments that they had to contend with. They were floored. How could such rhetorical facility have come to those who have no awareness of the works of Varro and Quintilian? And in considering the matter, the Jesuits almost always noted the openness with which public affairs were conducted. So Father Lejeune, the superior of the Jesuits in Canada, in the 1960s wrote, "There are almost none among them who are incapable of conversing or reasoning very well and in good terms on matters within their knowledge. The councils held almost every day in the villages and on almost all matters improve their capacity for talking." Or in Lalemant's words, "I can say in truth that as regards intelligence, they are in no wise inferior to Europeans and to those who dwell in France. I would never have believed that without instruction, nature could have supplied a most ready and vigorous eloquence, for which I have admired in many Hurons, or the more clear-sightedness in public affairs, or a more discreet management in things to which they are accustomed." Some Jesuits went further, remarking, not without a trace of frustration, that the New World savages seemed rather cleverer overall than the people they were used to dealing with at home. And they said things like, "Nearly all of the Native Americans show more intelligence in their business, speeches, courtesies, intercourse, tricks, and subtleties than do the shrewdest citizens and merchants in France." The reason I'm reading that is because we have come to believe, quite erroneously, that our education makes us smarter and or better than someone with less education. We have come to believe that we need to respect authority, that we need to answer to authority. This Christ mind body of work, including the Way of Mastery, is specifically designed to help us begin to question that and to look inside, to look, to begin to observe and question everything we've been taught, and to, through our own observation, figure out what is most useful for us. To what use will we put our capacity and potential for anger, fear, hurt, sadness, offense, confusion, bitterness, resentment, guilt, shame, grief? To what use will we put the awareness of these flows of energy through our system? And will we take advantage of this ability to examine, observe, and question for ourselves? Will we begin to strengthen our ability to live in the moment in the awareness that our mind energy is a creative force, and whatever we allow it to rest on, whatever we choose to pour the intensity of our mind energy into, whatever we choose to identify with, will begin to create more experiences just like that. That this energy creates like unto itself. And if I sit and focus on thoughts about how this is so sad that this happened, I will create an experience of sadness and resentment. I had somebody in my office earlier today with a powerful example of this. And she's dealing with parents who are getting older, and her father's in a nursing home, and there'd been all of this effort in the past couple weeks to get him rehabbed to the point where he could come home. And he was supposed to be released today. And 2 days ago, he started having physical problems. And it became very clear as of yesterday that it wasn't a good thing to send him home, because at home there's no set of resources for dealing with these medical physical problems. And the woman's mother was on the phone to her last night, wailing and gnashing teeth about how horrible this is, that there's been this, we'll call it a relapse, in her husband's health. And my patient, having been, you know, working diligently on herself and growing in awareness of all of these issues, asked her mother, "Mom, where is your gratitude energy?" And mom, "Well, gratitude for what?" "Well, gratitude for the fact that this happened when it did. We caught it before he came home. He's not coming home to your house, you know." And then you get there and he has this medical emergency, and then you're the one who's got to transport him to the emergency room. This was perfect timing to find out about this before he was released. Same data points, different filter. All right, so there's some disappointment, because I was hoping that my father / my husband would be able to come home, that he was improving enough that he would soon be able to live at home. And we were hopeful of that. But that's not what's happening. That's not the actuality. And so since he's not well enough, and we find it out when he's still in the position where he's got ready access to all these resources, I could choose to say, wow, what a blessing that we found this out now. It's so much less work. It's so much less scary that he has these events transpire when he's in the care of these professionals who have all these medical resources. Or I could say, this isn't what I wanted to have happen. Let me sit here and pour my mind energy into thoughts about how this is tragic, this is exhausting, this is so stressful, this isn't what I wanted, this can't be right. Because it in a moment, it takes the fantasy image I had about how life should be and how it should unfold over the next few days, weeks, months, or years, and it knocks it away like a puff of smoke with a hand waving through it. I'm going to create an experience in response to these life events. I always do. That's what this, the Way of Mastery in the first two lessons is trying to help us understand. Life events are going to expand and flow as they have been since the beginning of physical creation. It's going to just keep expanding. It's creative energy. That's what it does. It creates, it expands, and it flows. I'm going to create my experience of it, how I choose to interpret and then choose to respond to that flow of events. If I am trained to believe that I need to answer to an outside authority, that life should answer to what I want, that I need to follow all kinds of prescriptions of rules laid down by other people and men, and I don't learn to question and observe for myself, then I become enslaved. I become imprisoned by the very beliefs that I pour my mind energy into. And that's the essence of the Christ Mind material. It's a series of questions, observations, and exercises to help each and every person awaken to the fact that they are creators. They are creators of their own life experience, and they can learn to observe how that process is always unfolding, and they can choose to use it for their own benefit and the benefit of everyone around them, since we're all connected. That's why we're reading The Way of Mastery. That's why The Way of the Servant is available. That's why the Yeshua Letters is available. That's why The Course in Miracles is there, to help us question the patterns of belief and dogma and adherence to outside authorities that our culture has trained us to buy into. So I'll take a breath and ask if anybody has a comment or a question, and answer 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, and let me know if this is making any sense. I took a bit of a risk in bringing in the material from the book by David Graeber, but my point with that is to let us understand that there is solid evidence that there are other ways to live in community with other human beings other than adhering to the external authority that comes from a religious leader or a king or a military leader or a political leader. And that it can have wonderful results in terms of the quality of life and communal living. And that's essentially one of the major points of that book, is that we have been told that we only survive in our societies in peace because we all follow the rules. Area code 541, you're in the air.
Yes, Dr. Tim. Could you repeat the title of that book by David Graeber that you were just speaking of? A New History of Something.
Of Humanity? The Dawn of Everything. Right. The title is The Dawn of Everything. The subtitle is A New History of Humanity. It's by David Graeber and David Wengrow.
The Dawn of what?
Of Everything.
Of Everything. Good.
The Dawn of Everything, A New History of Humanity.
Okay.
And they're just going back and looking at, they're questioning, you know, some of the things that academia will tell us. Well, it's pretty simple. As human beings, we used to live like animals in the forests and the mountains and the woods and the plains and on the seashores. And we were hunter-gatherers. And then eventually somebody stumbled across the idea that, you know, you could use sticks and stones as tools. And then eventually somebody stumbled across agriculture. And that started to develop, and we could, you know, grow more food than we needed, and then we could sell the surplus, and then that developed into free markets, and that's why we have the culture that we have now. It's just a natural, you know, extension, and this is the most civilized, you know, way to live, because it's what we've come to after all of these years of growth and intellectual expansion, and it's just a bunch of hooey. It's a set of theories. It's not the way it actually happened. There have been many other ways people have lived over the centuries and thousands of years, and some of them have been much more amenable and loving and respectful and peaceful and productive than what we have now. And they're going back and retracing history of humanity to outline lots of different ways that have been ignored or lost because they didn't fit some academic theories that had been put forward. Does that make sense?
And I'd really like to access this book. So it was David Graeber, G-R-A-B-E-R?
I believe it's G-R-A-E-B-E-R. And David Wengrow, W-E-N-G-R-O-W.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Yes, I am totally enjoying what you're doing. Thank you, and I'm enjoying all of these references that you are linking to the Way of Mastery in an expanded sort of way. And I loved what you said about life energy creates, expands, and flows, because I'm coming to that perception it's very ungelled, but it's coming together. Of that's how I'm supposed to be, that I create regardless of what I think. But the expansion and the flowing is like a whole new sandbox to play in. I really love what we're reading, and I really love your extra comments that you put in, or your reaffirmations by expanding the text and then inserting little bits of what we've read before. I really enjoy that, to expand that certain meaning. Thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome and deserving. I'm glad it's useful. It's nice to hear. There is sometimes this void when you do a presentation like this on a podcast or an internet show like this. So thank you for the feedback. I'm glad you're finding it useful. There is a wealth of material out there about the Christ Mind pathway, and Jayem, J-A-Y-E-M is his name, wayofmastery.com or .org or our website you can go to, and you can also go to Christ Mind, all one word, Christmind .info. And when you go to Christmind.info, you can access a couple different versions of A Course in Miracles. You can access the original material for the Way of Mastery. I believe you can access A Course of Love. And it's a wonderful website because you can read it there and you can also listen to quite a few of those pieces. And the technology is advanced to the point where you can be listening and it will scroll through the text so you can follow along. They also
Beautiful.
Have a book by Joseph S. Benner, The Impersonal Life. And so it's a wealth of resources there, and it's available free at christmind.info.
Does that site also have the Way of the Servant and the Yeshua letters?
I'm not sure how much of that is up there.
Okay.
You know, if you go to christmind.info, they keep updating it, and some of the updates have made it less user-friendly for me. Because originally, when I went there, quite easy. So I'm there now, and it talks about the library information and documentation, and then it lists A Course in Miracles, the original edition, The Way of Mastery, A Course of Love, From the Christ Mind, Jesus of Nazareth, The Way of Mastery in Polish, the Raj material, which is a set of recordings of A Course in Miracles study group where an individual was channeling an entity and he decided to call himself Raj, and later they said, well, basically this is Yeshua. And then there is Choose Only Love, a message from messengers from a choir of angels, The Impersonal Life by Joseph S. Benner, and A Course in Miracles Sparkly Edition, whatever that means. So those are the books available.
I remember my impersonal, The Impersonal Life book came from 25-cent book discard sale at a library in Deming, New Mexico. And so I love that little book. And so I really appreciate all of this information. And I am assuming that the Way of the Servant and the Yeshua letters were through JM. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
Perfect. Well, thank
yeah.
you.
John Mark thank Hammer was his name yeah. when he was first beginning to receive that material. And later he changed to just JM, probably in part the abbreviation of John Mark Hammer.
Right. I chuckled when I saw JM because I thought of J and M. So it was pretty clever. I thought that was nice. And thank you again. This is perfect. Perfect for me. The Way of Mastery has resonated for me, I would think, more closely to my heart than anything else I've read. Joseph Benner is very special to me because of my birth date, the year, and the month and the day. There were one letter he wrote that was on May 17th, and then the second edition, or when it was brought out as a book, was 1944, so... I just glommed on it, and it is a very meaningful book for me. But The Way of Mastery is, I think, my favorite of anything I've run into.
Well, I'm one who shares that. That's it's probably the book I have read more than any other book in my life, and I've probably owned 3 or 4 copies. I haven't worn them out. I have gifted them to various people and then just ordered more. So I'm glad that you're enjoying the book and that it has spoken to you and that you're listening along as we take this journey this year.
And thank you. I'm so appreciative and grateful for your willingness to do this. It's a delight.
You're very welcome and deserving. I will mute you so you can listen in.
Okay. That was a pre-recorded show for Dr. Kim. And we welcome you to the second hour, which is live. And today is May the 12th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. And I invite you to go to our website, as always, at whyagain.org. And look around. There's some new things have been added on. And, just check them out and see what's happening. We have the book club at 3:30 Eastern time today. The information for that, if you go to the website, and you can click on either events or schedule, and you'll find it says Global Online Book Club. And the Zoom link to click on and to join us live is on there. And we also have all the recordings for four different meetings that we've had. And we'll continue until we get finished. So join us for that. It starts at 3:30 Eastern time and goes until, it's usually a couple of hours. It's 8:30 London time, and that's where the book club is originating. So they don't go too much longer than that because of the hour for them. So join us live here in about an hour and a half and be part of that. It's an awesome group of people. And I want to say welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Delighted and honored that you're here to be part of this conversation. And we have, we've talked about mind shifters quite a bit, and we're getting ready Saturday to do our Saturday session of the two sessions that we do once a month for the Mind Shifters and Soul Point Breathing Group. And I just had a thought that we might talk a little bit about mind shifters and take a look at what they mean and how they work and give you an opportunity to grab one if you'd like. So our definition for a mind shifter is that a mind shifter is a thought about an issue in your life around which you have negative thoughts, and it's an opportunity to surface, process, and release the negative thoughts. And so because the mind works by resonance, you know, if you pick up a middle C tuning fork and you hit it on a desk and you put it in front of a second middle C tuning fork, without touch, that second tuning fork is going to start to move. Resonance creates motion. Energy moves. And so the second tuning fork doesn't have any choice about it because it has a matching energy field to the first. The second tuning fork automatically goes into what they call sympathetic resonance. And so the mind works by the same principle. If I say don't think about the color of your car, then something about the color of your car moves in your mind. Resonance. And so if there's an issue somewhere in your life and you tap into the right thought and you start to work with that as a mind shifter, then that thought will start to uncover hidden things in your mind. And so we've set up a system where, like for instance, when we're going to do a still point breathing workshop, we'll invite people to pick two numbers. And the two numbers, we give a range of numbers each time we do that. Like for instance, today, we've got 10 different sets of mind shifters. And each set has 13 mind shifters in it. So I'm going to invite you to just think about right now. And we've always found, we found this just works so perfectly. I mean, been doing this for four decades now with people. Is just pick two numbers from this range of numbers, and that will be the mind shifter that you select by. And I always ask that you be guided to pick the right two numbers. And it's hilarious. I mean, for decades we've watched people, you know, we've got 40 people in a room, and, you know, they've been working together in this intensive maybe for 5 or 6 days. So they've gotten to know each other fairly well, and they know what each other's issues are. And somebody picks a number, a set of numbers, and I give them their mind shifter, and they're just like, whoa, how did I get that one? It's so perfect. I just finished talking about that 10 minutes ago. So we've got 10 groupings of mind shifters. Let me give you the titles of the different groupings.
Michael, unless you've got it, I only have 8.
Yeah, the 10 are complete. We've got 10 groupings. And so I'm going to give you the titles of each of the 10 groupings, and then there are 13 mind shifters in each grouping. So we'll just invite you now, before we do the rest of the explanation, to pick a number from 1 to 10, and that'll be your first number. So just whatever pops into your mind. And then a second number from 1 to 13. So the grouping that you pick will be the first number. So I'll give you a mind shifter if you want to call in, we'll give it to you. I'll give you a mind shifter from that grouping, whether you picked 1, 2, or 10. And I'm not going to tell you which titles are which, but here are the titles. So partnering in sweetness, approval, and love is one of the titles. Living without perception and memory is another of the titles. And healing into aliveness. Healing fear and hostility through forgiveness is another title. Creating abundance is still another title. Healing into eternal life is one of the topics. And dealing with power person issues is still another topic. Healing generations is still one more. Source system issues, healing death, healing into eternal life. So they're the different topics, and each of those topics has 13 mind shifters in it. So if you would, just pick a second number from 1 to 13. You've got two numbers in front of you. One of them will be for the grouping, and the second will be the specific mind shifter in that grouping. Now, the way that you use a mind shifter is that you take a piece of paper, divide it down the middle, and on the left side of the page, you write the mind shifter that we give you. And then on the right side of the page, you allow your mind to just start to dump whatever comes up. So one of my favorite mind shifters, you know, abundance is often an issue, and so I usually use this one as the example. And that is, I always earn twice as much as I can spend. So a person who gets that mind shifter and that has financial issues is going to tend to say something like, you know, they'll get that mind shifter right at once, always earn twice as much as I can spend. And then my first thought might be, what, that's crazy. It's like, okay, that's not true. I haven't got my bills paid this month. And that's it. You run out of things to write. Then you write the mind shifter again, always earn twice as much as I can spend. Nothing happens. I always turn twice. And maybe after writing another 3 or 4 times, all of a sudden comes the thought, well, you know, I remember when they repossessed my car. I don't have enough money to pay my bills. I always earn twice as much as I can spend. And then, you know, there might be just an opening and bang, you write down every time there was a money problem, things just start to flow. So what happens is, pardon me, information is stored in the mind in files, so to speak. So everything in your file on your mind on abundance, if you get a mind shifter that relates to abundance, will tend to start to move. And the idea is, you know, if you listen to the ancient teachings, they said, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. Now, they weren't talking about the physical organ, the heart. They were talking there about the unconscious. Take care of the unconscious, for out of it are the issues in life. If we live in a world where we live in denial, I blame you for what I'm feeling. You made me this way, or you are that way. So that blame statement, when there's something going on inside of me, means that the real cause of what's going on inside of me, I have to hide from myself to believe that somebody else is the problem in my life. And so when I do that, and most of the world, I mean, listen to the world, how many times have you said, you made me, you caused me such pain, you hurt me, you, on and on and on go the statements. Each time one does that, perception is a construct of the mind, And if my mind is serving up a pained perceptual construct, it's because there's pained content in my mind. But if I say you're the cause of it, I'm in the essence saying to my mind, mind, don't show me that that is mine, that that belongs to me. Build me a perceptual construct that shows me that that is caused by someone else. And so I dissociate from certain content in my mind when I do that. And then because I've dissociated from it, you know, it's kind of like I've pushed down on it. And when I push down on it, I add energy to it. When I add energy to it, it amplifies the energy that goes out into the world and resonates or draws experiences to me. Remember, energy is motion. And so if I stop motion, and thought is no different, it's a motion, if I stop that motion, if I inhibit it becoming conscious, and I hallucinate, I build a picture of blame of somebody else being the cause, then I've created a heart or an unconscious condition in myself. And it's from there that the issues show up in my life. So the idea of the mind shifter is to use it to resonate as a catalyst to show me what I need to work on, what's underneath the surface in my mind. So you've got two numbers from 1 to 10 and then a second number from 1 to 13. And if you want to just push 1, I've got the list here sitting in front of me, and we'll go through and give you a mind shifter. So if you're on the station where we can't see you, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you're listening to the show directly. And then if you push 1, that raises a hand in the control panel, and Jeannie will know you want to talk to us. So if you'd like to get a mind shift right now from our latest groupings, so 1 to 10, then 1 to 13, then we'll give you a mind shifter. So if you'd like to push 1, give us the number you're looking for, and we'll share that mind shifter with you and invite you to put it to work in your life and see what happens. So, Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody who wants a mind shifter? Is somebody in the chat room?
No.
Anybody in the control
room?
Nobody
has a hand up. No.
Nobody wants to play today? I figured we'd have folks who'd like to take a look on a deeper level at what's going on. That's why I figured, well, we'll do that today and start or get, you know, get everybody working on mind shifters. That so 563-999-3581, just give us your two numbers and we'll give you a mind shifter. And maybe nobody wants to play, so that's okay. We'll let that one go. And I'll just let me share number 10-8. So 10-8, if that were your number, then the mind shifter is, it's silly to rely on the past to form my perception. So this calls into play the fact that the mind, the fact that it builds pictures based on what's stored in it from the past. Remember, perception is a construct of the mind, and of course it can't construct out of something that isn't there, and if it's there, it's obviously there from the past. So when I start to realize that I could be living in the present, and it's really pretty silly to rely on the past, which is, generally speaking, what the whole culture does all the time. That's why we've got so much conflict going on in our world, because people who never know how to go in and forgive, never know how to go in and remove the conflicts from their own minds, you know, the last time that conflict happened, they blamed somebody, so they dissociated from that content, they projected that content into the brain's image of someone else, and they had a perception that, you know, Bill was the cause of this pain. When I start to question that, when I start to understand that perception is a reflection of the past, then I can begin to collapse my perceptions from the past. Question them first. So when I offer myself the thought, see, it's silly to rely on my past to form my perception, I've got a catalyst to start to look at unconscious dynamics. So that's the mind shifter game. It's a powerful tool to really start to search through the unconscious dynamics and that reside in each of our minds and wake up to the truth of who we are. It's a great tool. And if we don't have anybody that wants to grab a mind shifter, you can do it in the chat room too.
I actually have a hand up.
Oh, cool. Let's say hello.
I believe this is Patrick. Area code 727. You're on the air.
Well, hey there, Patrick. Hey. Yeah, how are you? You're sounding kind of funky, Patrick. Can you hear him, Jeannie?
Hold on.
No, I can't understand him at all, Patrick.
Yeah, I get you. Hold on. Something's wrong.
You got down speaker?
I'll call you back.
Okay. We'll give Patrick a minute to call back in. Technology is so great when it works and so not fun when it doesn't. By the way, if you're listening to the show on one of those stations where we can't see you, then by dialing the number 563-999-3581, you'll be listening to the show directly. So we can have then if you push 1, that will raise a hand in the control panel. And we're waiting for Patrick to call back in so that we can have that conversation with him. And I'm going to, seeing as how it doesn't seem to be coming back in yet, I'm going to try calling Patrick and see if I can three-way him in, if that's any better.
Oh, he's back on. Hold on just 1 second.
Oh,
let's
good.
Try it again. Patrick?
Howdy. Can you hear me now?
Ah, that's better. Hey, you're loud and clear.
Good.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Let's see.
Good. What's on your mind?
Anyway, so I got... Well, while you were talking, I had a few thoughts, and one was from to parallel the work that you do would be modern psychologists talking to me said, hey, whenever you do the blame game, in my words, you give away your power. So you have no power whatsoever. All your energy is tied up because you're a victim of another.
Right.
So it's another way to think, oh, do I want to be a victim? Or do I want to be at cause? And as long as we're doing the blame game and they did it to me, you made me mad, the language that we've been brought up with, and keep that language, we're in trouble. And there's
yes.
another person, if anybody wanted to, B.K. Shivani states the same thing, that if you stick with this language, well, too bad. So you got to change the language, as you said, and stop doing the blame game if you want to have your own ability to create what you want and enjoy.
Reclaim your power.
Reclaim your power. So that was one. And then the other was, this is a question, a thought, but I didn't tune in early, so I don't know. My opinion at this point, which is changeable in a flash, is that the best thing to do is we're all programmed, you know, with our craziness. And so stuff comes up like, you know, you're a pain in the rear, that's a pain in the rear, whatever, and then that injures those, the energy around those tissues. But it seems to me the best thing to do is allow whatever feelings you have to flow as they are up to the conscious mind. Go ahead and let them come out in a safe space, safe way, not at someone in a physical form, you know. And then that way you know what it is that you're trying to possibly suppress. And if you suppress it, it's still going to be active. So it needs
right.
to come up, be worked with, transmuted, changed. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on letting it come up. How do you bring it up, or do you bring it up as it is? What do you do with it?
Well, that's one of the ideas. Did you tune in at the beginning of the show to the conversation about mind shifters?
No, that's when I was late. What I did was I came in when you
okay.
said a little bit of mind shifters, and you asked if you wanted one, and my numbers before – as you asked, were above 11 and 13, so I didn't get one. So I asked Patricia, what do you got? And she says, 12. Okay, do it yourself is what that means. Anyway, go ahead.
So pick a number from 1 to 10.
Okay. I got.
And then a number from 10. 1 to 13? 10, okay. Okay. 10 and then 1 to 13?
Hold on, there we go. 12.
Okay. So number 12 is, you got your pen handy?
I'm ready.
My partner is true to me, comma. So number 10, 12 is, my partner is true to me, comma. And I am true to my partner. My partner is true to me, and I am true to my partner in thought, comma. Word, comma. My partner is true to me, and I am true to my partner in thought, word, action, and appearance. That's from the section on partnering in sweetness, approval, and love. My partner is true to me, and I am true to my partner in thought, word, action, and appearance. So does that bring any thoughts up to you?
Yeah. How lucky we are that we've come as high up the scale as we have on this, and keeps in mind, if I break any of this, to write it down and make sure I can, you know, take the time to take care of it. In thought, word, okay, action, or deed, and appearance. And then appearance is a good question, because I think she allows me for a week or two at a time, unless I'm going out to work, to not shave and get grody and everything. And I get, and she's very loving, you know. So, but then she helps me out when it's time to go out and helps me trim my beard and check the back of my head that I get everything. So I guess, but anyway, I'll keep it in mind, and I'll ask her about all these things and make sure. That's the best thing. I think I'll talk to her and find out if there's something she's subjugating that she's not telling me that I'm doing that I don't know about.
So all of that is your brain dump. All of that is what you'd put on the right-hand side of the page. Mm-hmm. And then, and what we suggest you do is that you take at least an hour where your phone is off, you're in your own space, and you just write that mind shifter, and like you just did, write down every thought. Gee, and right, you know, you came up with a powerful solution, if there is anything, and that is, I'm going to go communicate about it. Phew, great opening.
Yeah.
Is there anything, yeah, you know, going on around the way that I behave that I need to look at? And what an opening for communication. So that's the idea of a mind shifter, and that's one of the – good breath. Now, what just happened with that breath? Something moved.
That was releasing resistance and fears to not having a better relationship, knowing that by doing this, we have more sharing of the love we are and looking forward to it. So
nice.
Yeah.
So, again, that goes on the right side of the page.
All right.
And what happens, and so as you were talking about how to uncover things, so there's how to uncover things right there. By doing that mind shifter, you resonate, and what happens when you add energy to something that's been hidden, it strengthens, and when it strengthens enough, it pops through to the surface. And most people, when they work with a mind shifter, look at what they write on the page, and they're like, my God, I didn't realize that was in my mind. Well, yeah, I remember thinking it, but I didn't really realize it was there, and it was a factor in my life,
yeah,
or my relationships, or what have you. Yeah. So this is one of the ways to bring up those things that are suppressed and hidden, is by using resonance, getting the right thought to add energy to that unconscious data that's been suppressed, as you say, and strengthen it so it pops through to the surface and I become conscious of it. Because if I don't allow myself to become conscious of it, the things that I hold in the unconscious impact the way I think, feel, and behave without awareness by me that that's what, you know, oftentimes we'll say to somebody, well, why did you say that? And they'll go, well, I don't know. Or why did you do that? I don't know. I just felt like it. You know, we have a suggestion to people who do things just because they feel like it is never do that again. Be conscious of what you do. Choose your behavior, and you'll never be functioning from the unconscious. And if you do, use a mind shift to open it up, or, you know, the forgiveness tool, the step-by-step forgiveness worksheet, reality management. What happens when you recognize there's a painful perceptual construct and you cancel the goal that's driving it, literally when that perception based in pain, and, you know, oftentimes people have no idea why they're in pain. They just know, oh, I've got all this pain going on. But when I apply forgiveness to that construct and it collapses, it's kind of like it drops in on itself and on its way into the unconscious. The root of that pain perception is exposed when I open that pathway. And so I, once again, here's another way to access unconscious dynamics. You know, the still point breathing process is a way to access unconscious dynamics. You'll notice when there's something being suppressed, you know, what everybody does when they start talking about something they don't really want to deal with is they alter their breathing pattern or shut their breathing down. So breathing, still point, is another way to access those unconscious dynamics. And what happens is that when you access something in the unconscious that, you know, maybe somebody's been afraid of or not wanted to deal with, not wanting to look at it, just by mere access and staying connected to breath and love, the unconscious charge, the pained energy that's held there, simply begins dissolution. It begins to disappear. So there are some of the ways of doing that. You did the codependence to independence communication intensive, and in that one we had a power person worksheet. And the power person worksheet goes through all aspects of a particular event that's happening today and how it ties back to the power person. And by doing so, you start to get to access those unconscious dynamics. The commitment. You know, utilizing the commitment. You know, you get to that part in the commitment that says, if anything less than love comes up, I'm going to hold this in my heart and listen. Well, if I'm in my hostility, I'm not holding anybody, myself or anybody else, in my heart. But when I remind myself that, you know, gee, I speak the commitment every day, so when I remind myself, oh, I'm going to hold this in my heart, I can stop, think about that person, you know, friend, enemy, partner, child, parent, and open the space of love and embrace them, extend that presence of love to them. And when I do that, I'm going to start to see more of my own unconscious dynamics. So just about every tool we teach, of the dozens we teach, is about how to access those parts of the unconscious and clean them up. Does that make sense?
You can hear yourself. Yeah.
You're loud and clear. Yes, sir.
And then it brought up a lot for me. One of the things that I've always thought is why I hated to do worksheets and, you know, why secondarily, which has to do with me, projection out, to be why people don't stick with the work or want to do the work, and then why call it work instead of enjoying or clearing or something, reprogramming, whatever. But work has a connotation for me of work. I work too much most of my life. Then what I think is why would I want to dig in the mud and bring up the pain? Because it hurts. And so I would think that there's a parallel for other people too. But I guess if I can figure this out myself, be the best thing. So the first thing that I think is when that pain's brought up, there's a level that connotates the idea of judge not, lest you be judged, being that we judge not only others but ourselves according to the belief systems and programs we have. So if I bring it up, oh, my gosh, I'm guilty. There's so much pain, and I don't know how to handle it, which brings up for me still point breathing. I think it's extremely important. One of the reasons why I like breathing and still point so much is because it doesn't just access. It clears right through. If you breathe and you can, you know, bring life, chi, spirit through the pain of the program that you've experienced or are experiencing, still point is so phenomenal for clearing, not just bringing it up. So that's been my preferred way over worksheets on my own. The other preferred way for me is to have someone like you have always done for me, someone who is non-judgmental, who stays in being and presence and just listens to my garbage without a judgment on it. So that I found that that clears also when I was experimenting. I've always checked different churches and paths, and the Latter-day Saints, that was people that I thought I needed to help. 3 months later were totally clear. They had these terrible energy fields and terrible posture from their guilt of what they did in a war to other people, blah, blah, blah. And because no one judged them when they told their stories, and people were just, as you are excellent at, being there for them, they totally changed in 3 months without anything else but that. So those are some of the ideas. But previously, I just hated digging up the mud, the pain, you know. But now that I have enough techniques and enough people who can not judge when I speak about, you know, what I'm holding inside, then I do have the pathways. But I always think for everybody that it's very important to have some support person to be able to help you with your thing and not get caught in it. Like I always think of how people actually pass out, why you tell them to write these things out, because sometimes the pain is so overwhelming that they leave mentally because the emotional pain is too great. And that's the last thing I say, why we stick it in our body and kill our body with this energy that's not flowed, not alive. As long as it's flowing and it's like flowed emotions, then we're alive. And if we bring it into stasis and repress it, we're killing the body and killing love. And that's all I have to say that you brought up for me. Thank you.
Michael, I hear you talking through the wall, but I think you're muted.
I was. Mute challenged. Excuse me. So right on, there's the reason why one would want to dig down in the mud voluntarily when they're ready and willing to do some work. Because if we don't dig in the mud, the energy that's in us that's hidden in the mud, literally, you know, by definition, everything is energy, including the trauma that I hold. And energy is motion. And so if I have something in me, and so quote unquote in the mud in me, that energy is impacting, as you say, my physiology. Literally, it's the stuff death is made of. But it also is setting up a field that through resonance is going to tend to draw somebody to me to play it out with me. So if there's something in myself I've hidden from myself, I don't have access to it. I can't decode it. I don't even, and when it moves, it's like I'm not even aware it's there. And, you know, my take is that life abhors us killing ourselves. And so life is set up so that if there's any energetic pattern, mud pattern, so to speak, in us that's literally physiologically killing us, life sends someone to resonate that and bring it up. And that's another opportunity to go, oh, this is mine. I could change it unless I'm in denial. Then I go, look what you've done to me, and I bury it under another layer of mud. But life is relentless because the purpose of life is to kick us right square in the limitation. What we don't want to deal with and what we don't want to decode in ourselves, life sends us somebody with the decoder, and it's not fun when that happens, when we're in willingness and go, okay, so I'm ready to open and let things come up. Things don't have to, you know, sneak, situations that we don't expect don't have to sneak up on us. You know, it's like one of the things that we recognize about the law of resonance is that resonance creates motion. You know, if I've got let's say I've got two baby grand pianos beside each other, and I go over and I hit middle C on one of those baby grands, and I open the back and I look in the back of the second baby grand piano, all of the keys related to middle C are going to be moving. They're going to be vibrating. Second piano doesn't come over and climb on top of the first one, but in the human realm, there's another aspect of motion that comes into play. It not only creates motion in others, in other words, if somebody has the matching bag of garbage, there's going to be a resonance, and what moves in me will tend to move in them. But when it does, they'll also tend to move toward me and bring that matching bag of garbage forward, and that's what creates clashes in relationships. If I'm willing to do my work, I can be finished with those clashes and just willingly, you know, on a daily basis be committed to doing my work and cleaning up my bag of garbage, my bag of mud, so that I don't have to have someone sneaking up on me in the dark, so to speak, you know, out of the darkness, playing out what the energetic patterns that I hold in myself that are vibrating so strongly, trying to come through to the surface, that the tissue that they're stored in is inflamed and restricted in blood flow and all kinds of trauma going on, because that energetic pattern is a pattern that does not belong in that tissue, and it literally creates tissue disturbance. Which way am I better off? I'm going to deal with the energy anyway. It might be a festering sore physically, or I can, you know, somebody shows up and resonates my rage, or I have a mind shifter and I go, oh, maybe I'll talk to my spouse about whether there's anything I should be looking at. Now, through willingness and a loving conversation, I can look at that might otherwise cancel the thought. Tomorrow be literally the physiological festering sore. I can bring it forward and go, oh, I didn't realize I was holding that resentment. Let me remove that. The load's gone from the tissue, the relationship improves, and my vitality reaches a new level. So that's the willingness. Most people, unfortunately, don't step in and do their work until they're in pain. And, you know, pain has a wonderful purpose. It makes our ears grow. But we can do it through choice and not have to be motivated by trauma to start looking at things. We can be motivated by, you know, I don't have to be sick to get better. I think I'll do some work today. I think I'll do a worksheet or two. I think I'll write a mind shifter. I think I'll breathe. And now ease and grace accompanies the healing of those dynamics instead of drama and trauma. Does that fit? Does that make sense from your experience?
Always makes sense. Always brings up more for me. So there's some questions I have, because I'm actually going to do a presentation tonight. I don't know, within a couple of weeks, on body, mind, and spirit healing. And
right.
Before I get to that, I'm going to go around in a circle here. Well, maybe I'll do that. So
go
the
for
most
it.
Important thing for me, the most important thing for me, because I'm a compulsive one to help other people, but finally I'm getting around to helping me. So I think that's the best way, absolutely. But it was a matter of, did I have the tools to face the pain, the judgment of others, face my judgment of myself, whatever, that, you know, they could have been telling the truth, but it was just bringing up my stuff, so I wanted to deny it, et cetera. So I came up with these things, came up while you're talking. Movement is life. Stasis is not. Now, for me, the first thing, tool that I present to myself, anybody that might use it, is to work out. So when you're doing exercise, you literally, and it depends on the attitude you do it with, you can work out. And as you move the energy through the body. You also breathe deeper. And as I went to an Alzheimer's meeting yesterday, and it was like the first thing is exercise to keep the mind alive. And any other thing, whether you're talking about the heart, this, that, the other, medical doctor, first thing is exercise. Second thing is diet, usually Mediterranean diet is the first advice. But I look at exercise as excise. To excise is to cut away. So like, what's his name? The guy that did
good
sculpturing.
One.
Yeah, cut away, chop away, not chop away, but chisel out to the real you, the love you that you are, the being that you are. And so then
removal.
What
forgiveness is, removal.
That
was just
wrong. So flowing emotions first, and I'm looking at how many people have a support for doing that. We used to have support groups in your work, and I don't know who. I know a few people that are still available for support. I don't know about groups, and I'm looking at the possibility of people knowing who they could give a call to. And the most important thing that's already there is, and I've done it with you on this radio, if you know, nobody's available, other people can hear, but we help other people. If we clear while on the show with you, we get excellent support, and we can bring up our stuff and everybody else can gain while we release our stuff. So the first thing that I know is available 5 days a week is this program for that. And then
that's why we do it.
From a long time ago was somebody stated, I don't know, 50 years ago or 45, something like that, that it was like a cauldron bubbling and you had to get the junk off the top so you could see inside. But I think more of what's down in there is just clear. That's us. Just get the junk off the top. Or I have something I'm not sure. Well, it's another subject, so I won't bring it up later. But on the body, mind, spirit, what I got so far is that I'm going to be presenting this to a martial arts group, and I do body work for the owner. And in that, what
right.
I look at is that spirit, the spirit is life, and the parallel on the physical plane for that is energy and breath. And as
right.
energy is blocked, emotions or energy and motion is blocked because we have guilt about it. We have, you know, we're covering a pain, basically, and then we cover it with an anger, something, and a judgment of others instead of clearing it within ourselves. That blockage becomes physical always because there's an absolute parallel in blood flow and energy flow, and breath can move it, and movement can move it, and forgiveness can finish it so it doesn't come back.
Well,
come
one
back
of the things...
When you're clear.
Yeah, one of the things I've been thinking about the last 2 or 3 minutes as you've been talking is my deep appreciation for the fact that you introduced me to the Avicen. And, you know, when you talk about excising and exercising, you know, they did I don't know if you're aware with this particular piece of research that they did at University of California at San Diego, but they did a study of diabetics with the Avicen, mm-hmm. and within doing a 30-minute session right after eating, changed postprandial blood levels by 60 points, which, from what I understand, is about the equivalent of a brisk one-hour walk. So people who can't ambulate, people who can't get up and work out and such, by simply putting their hand in the Avicen, they can get the equivalent in 30 minutes of being relaxed. You know, it could be watching TV or working on their computers or sitting on the phone, or as I usually am, I don't have it today because I was at my computer with the mind shifters, but usually every day you might hear a little ticking sound in the background. I've got my hand in the Avicen. So for an hour, I'm doing the radio show, physiologically, I'm getting the effect of a 2-hour walk in that hour, exercise-wise, how it moves blood flow in the body. So, you know, mucho gracias, Patrick, for finding this back almost 2 years ago now and sharing your story of the results that you've gotten with it and inspiring me to jump on board and get it. And, you know, that we make it available to people as a product is also pretty awesome because it's helped to support with the fact that we stopped traveling from a cash flow basis, it's helped us to support keeping things like the app developing and the work going. So much appreciation for that.
I have more comments on it now. So on that
go
level,
for it.
Also we're helping people tremendously. It is not only an emotional forgiveness, but it's a physical forgiveness machine that forgives
yes.
the best energy from the body. And much like exercise, so number one, we have exercise or excise. And number two, we have the idea that we move energy. If we move blood, we're moving energy. And you can't hold down, but you don't have to, like, I don't go through the pain of a lot of stuff with it. It doesn't. Now, the Beamer, and I want to talk about both, the Beamer opened up blood flow through different areas of my body. One was legs, because I'd gotten to the point of things that were militarily oriented of my hate for war and hate of hate, things like that, were stuck in my legs. And they say I had, you know, Agent Orange diabetes, but and that was the cause. But my opinion, the real cause, you know, or parallel cause would be that I didn't really want to be here, no longer wanting to walk on Earth. So that through the beamer,
right,
which I want to mention, the beamer will do the first wondrous thing. It will move that blood. It will move that energy. But that brought up one night a nightmare and of that energy coming up and me realizing that's what was stuck in my legs. That's what was blocked. So I had
right.
to do a lot of forgiveness and clear. So I want to say that the beamer is still a very important product because it has, and the most important thing is you got to use it. And people are
yeah.
dismotivated by pain. And I'm calling friends, especially I'm finding even with myself, I started losing motivation to use the Avastin due to not having pain. No more pain. I don't have pain. But what a prevention. What a stitch in time. Stage nine, wonderful machine.
Well, it's kind of like forgiveness. You don't have to be sick to get better.
Well, the funny thing was, is it's the same as breathing. It's the same as walking. It's the same as exercise. The blood's flowing. The energy is flowing. And as within breathing, it'll go right through the negative emotion that's come up. So as you did your long dissertation, what was it called? About, I'm going to put it another way, the stress response of closing down your blood system and then getting it stuck, all your muscles tighten up, your capillary sphincters close down, and you go into survival modes, and those get stuck in the body. So when you're using these two machines, they open more gently, I would think, as a starter for most people with the beamer. And I would, for whoever can, I think it's if you stretch it out, the payments would be like $1.97 a day to add an Avastin to a beamer. And I'd say bump up a beamer because you don't have the heat, and the heat changes all the chemistry to work faster in the body and releases things at a deeper level. And was what the things that the beamer couldn't get to that were really giving me a hard time. And for about 6 months of HELL, I had to wake up at night with a cramp in my left leg and foot, hobble into my rehab room and rehab for an hour and a half, and maybe never go back to sleep because it was 2:30, 5:30. Why go back? So just watch the
right.
sunrise. That's when I got the Avastin, and the Avastin changed that dramatically for just one session, 15 minutes each hand. Didn't even know what the Avastin was about, but it made my body, I had heat in my feet first time ever, and maybe, I thought maybe 20 years, don't remember how long, immediately lost that cramps in the night that were driving me crazy going away. And then, ever since, just one thing after another over the last few years, has been trailing off. It keeps healing things or assisting the healing of things amazingly. So I would definitely say
right.
if one can, you know, if I can help you work out a finance on it, I think it's, you know, standard, wondrous biohack.
There's nothing like it. There's no other medical device that I know of that people who use it say, wow, I love the side effects of my medical treatment. There's nothing else on the market
in case somebody wants to fall off on the use of it, remember these things from Patrick. Stitch in time saves nine. It's a preventer. It gets the things you don't even know are in the way.
Yep.
I lost track of things dropped off me, but if anybody wants to know, just give me a call. So if you don't use it, you lose it, they say. And so I could not use my hands. I was 10 or 12 years out of doing body work, you know, maybe an hour or two a day for a few people I could do, but it was painful. Now my hands were frozen stiff with a 15-degree range of motion of non-movement, not able to make a fist. Now they're working, and I'm now with the state of Florida reactive license to do body work and massage, and I just keep feeling better all the time.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I think about the fact that your hands were such a trauma for you that you gave up your profession that you'd done for so many years, and then it was just a few months ago you told me you were getting your license again. It's like, wow, your hands are doing that well. That's pretty awesome. And it is amazing.
I'm excited. I just bought
cool.
a new table. All kinds of stuff to do work and enjoy. And So let's go back to that body, mind, spirit, because you're helping me to put together what I'm going to say to this people who I have no idea. They'll be of all walks of life and all religions or all spiritual beliefs or non-beliefs.
Right.
And one thing I could say is, simply to begin with, I can say alignment. You know, if you want to do martial arts and you have the right attitude, if you line yourself up on a vertical axis, like what I call ergonomic posturing, effortless posturing, and then your body flows phenomenally. You also have, especially if you balance your cranium on your atlas in a vertical axis, regardless of the rest of the body, you got blood flow to your brain, and you're aligned, like we were talking about before many times, as an antenna to catch our own souls, to catch the information in the universe. Intuition goes up, brain power goes up, and effortlessness comes about.
Brain power.
If you did it. Yeah, brain power.
Really an important piece of it.
It's not like the brain. It's a freedom. It's a freedom from the programs of the mind, because once you're balanced up there, but then if you keep it and keep playing with it, and somewhere between 5 and 15 minutes, your intuition, your connection to the universe goes up, and your own soul, whatever ideas come in, happiness comes in, muscles relax, posture stuck, and the rest of the body goes away. So that alignment, what I noticed with my martial arts teacher was, he was like top level two, China, trained, blah, blah, 16,000 moves when he was 16. But the most important, when I watched him, was he could move faster backwards than anybody could move forwards. And he was loose as a goose until he had impact. But he moved on that central axis. As soon as you move off of it, you're tied up, your arms, everything moves. It's like in this art, supposedly combat art, you can use it. Confidence over your fears is a good thing, but if you have a bad attitude in it, you gain some negativity within your own self and to others and back and forth. But you can free yourself, work out, become aligned, and with your own spirit, and be in neutral when you're playing the game. I always called it playing when I was 9 years in Kung Fu. I just played and assisted others, and I watched that on a mental level with the programming people had, not feeling good about themselves. It did help a lot of people, and hopefully I can do this speech in a way that can help those who are tied up in anger.
I think you're going to do that perfectly, Patrick.
Okay.
And my offering, you know, I mean, I've known you for 50 years, and as you talk about the mind and the work you've been doing with the Avacyn and such, between the Avacyn and the Beamer, I'll offer that, you know, we've been on the phone now for about, 40 minutes or so, mm-hmm. that never in 50 years that I've known you have I heard you be able to follow a thread of thought without getting lost in it and not being sure what you were talking about. Patrick, I haven't heard you do that since the day I met you. And your flow of thought for the last 40 minutes has been connected, continuous, and just moved right through without me having to say, Patrick, wait a minute now, what are you talking about? So that's a compliment, Patrick. That is awesome, the shift. Yeah. And the consistency of just staying on track is phenomenal. And of course, the brain is fed by capillaries, and that's exactly what both the Beamer and the Avacyn work with, is opening up the capillary flow. And nice work. That's awesome.
It's really, I've been fighting that and trying to keep track of my own thoughts. I always thought that I had too much, that my mind worked on too many things at once, and that they were all important, but I couldn't line them up and I couldn't stick with one. So I would do tricks and everything to try to stay on target. And build in a way that people could understand block by block in the right alignment. I never could accomplish it till now, and I don't know where the final breakthrough came or what we would call maybe just taking the junk out of the way to where I can now line up my thoughts and put them in an order.
Well, it's awesome, man. That's fabulous.
The most important thing is how pleasant it is to not have to work on it anymore.
Yay.
Yay.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
It's been a long time.
Well, that's
path
awesome.
Healing.
Nice breath there. Sounds like you just, that little breath you just did was another piece that just let go. Are you conscious of what moved with that breath you just did?
The accumulative fear of speaking is like, and I don't know, it was childhood forward, I don't know. But I remember being in a speech class, and the guy passed me and gave me a D. I couldn't get up and give a speech. I could do a demonstration, which I did with somebody else. Phenomenal. But I always taught classes, and I did teach good classes, but it was always through doing and demonstrating and taking action, never through an individual speech dissertation separate from physical demonstration at the same time. That was easy. Like it was really...
Well, congratulations.
Doing a speech was...
Congratulations, you've done it. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Powerful.
So, let me see if there's any question I have on that. Body, mind, spirit. So basically, what I see if I can include, I'll tune in on the audience, and I think I'll be able to include that the problems that need to be healed are basically of the mind. And the mind is just the majority of it is the programming and the unconscious that we received in childhood through either representation or through trauma of the unloved part, someone being a power person. And that there are many ways to heal and assist this process of letting go of those programs and belief systems that create trauma again for others and ourselves and kill our bodies and keep us from truly healing, because the only thing that's really going to heal is love, which is what we are. I don't know if that didn't, I pulled that in, but that didn't quite click yet. Basically, only thing that heals is love. What we are is love.
Yeah.
And what's in the way is what keeps us ill.
I'm with you 100%. The thought comes, Patrick, do you have the app on your phone? The Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness app?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good.
Just let people know.
Do you tap in and do worksheets on it from time to time?
No, I don't. Remember, I hated worksheets. So I do all the things I've talked about, and I do work. I always said that I would do the worksheets in my mind, and I do shortcut worksheets. I bring it up, and I look at, as soon as I do anything that's not of love every day in every way, I bring it up, I go over it, and I especially love to go on a trip shopping or something for 45 minutes to an hour to work it. And that's when they're best is when I'm in movement down the road, riding the bike. When I'm sitting still, I don't know. I will look into these things. So when I'm sitting still in the office or in a room, I don't like bringing it up. I feel it comes up. It comes up especially wondrously in my sleep, and I'm semi-asleep or aware, and I'll start breathing and clearing air early in the morning or even somewhere past 2 o'clock to sunrise, I'll clear. And if it's something big, I'll be clearing for the next 2 or 3 days on anything. But I keep it in mind. I keep working on it. But I've never – so I'll try worksheets again. I've never enjoyed worksheets.
Yeah. How about another mind shifter?
Sure, go.
Okay. Got your pen?
I'm ready.
One of my deepest enjoyments. Is utilizing the forgiveness process to face. One of my deepest enjoyments is using the forgiveness process to face, surface, and work through old traumas. So you might work with that and see what that does to your breath, if it creates any restriction, and see what that might be. When you talked about, you know, being a kid in school, you know, I wonder if there's a tie-in of having to get to specifics aside from physical, and, you know, you're a really physical guy. You're what we call a muscular body type that's meant to take action. But I see that you're bringing your mind more and more into alignment and your ability to speak there. And so maybe a worksheet or two on those early speech classes might be beneficial and open things on still another level.
I'm going to speak about what Kata brought up before. When, and I don't know where it started, but it'll start coming up, I'm sure. So basically that was junior year of high school. And what I felt like was probably fear of failure, fear of judgment of others. The weird thing was, is I was extremely shy in high school, and yet I was what they call one of those football hero guys. So the popularity walking down the halls is everybody would say hi in a great way and up energy, and I would have to push out saying hi back. I mean, it was a deliberate effort.
Right.
Trying to spend dance was very difficult until I took came back from the Army as a man, you know, and then took Kung Fu for about 3 years, and then after movement and doing, you know, a tremendous number of movements, it kind of broke through my nervous system to be able to dance phenomenally, freely, enjoyably, et cetera. And I think that physical, maybe as a muscular type, I guess, or a physical person, or a Taurus or whatever, that was the important move, the energy through the body, and it moved it through the mind, and the experience came out the other side. So I will look
cool.
back in childhood, but I'm not sure. I always thought that a lot of, oh, I know, I got one. A lot of my fear of speaking out is it because I was different from all the other kids. And you always get picked on if you're different. It's just natural
yeah.
to children and pigeons. So it's like when I used to have a lot of kids would be, one time they played basketball, and I was laying on the side of the court looking up at the clouds and kind of connected everything. And my vocabulary was extremely high also as a child. And so the guys would come over and they would break into my connection to everything and my intuition and my ability to bring in inventive type ideas and creations
right.
and stuff. And
we're down to 1 minute.
Say, hey, professor, wake up.
Mm.
So
it's kind of derogatory to be smart.
Yeah, so I destroyed my language, and I felt good about destroying it through military and construction. Now I'm getting it back.
Good. Breathing through that one with you, my friend. That's awesome. Well, you know, we're down to the less than a minute, so we're going to have to close the conversation. This show will cut us off, but
okay.
I really appreciate you calling in with this whole conversation. I suspect that anybody who's been listening has really benefited from just the whole flow that we've had today. So much, much appreciation, my friend, and have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
One last mention is that they changed the login for the Zoom for the book club. I have put it in the notes for today, so you'll have to use a different Zoom link than what we had last week. So it's in the notes.
Cool.
Thanks.
So people can go into the notes on under the go to the radio show, the microphone
yes.
on the page, click and drill down. Cool. Thank you, sweetheart.
And I've also changed
everybody.
It on the book club site as well.
Cool. All right. Blessings.